And up until that point, the community that I had here and the relationships and the social life was very vibrant. And I could walk through the city and meet a friend at any moment and have a glass of wine or share a conversation or really just spend time with people spontaneously, which is the thing I love most about living here. The neighborhood I live in is very outgoing, very friendly. Everyone's on the streets until late at night, usually. To have that shut down has been not only isolating, but just kind of like, it has an apocalyptic feeling for me right now.
Hey, everyone. This is Zach here. Welcome to episode 3. Today I'm talking with Brendan, another member of Big Strange. Brendan, how's it going?
Hi, Zach. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for joining. So Brendan, you live in Italy now and you've lived in Italy for about 2 years.
Yes.
You've been working on a film.
Yes, I've been living here in Syracuse, which is in Sicily, so the far south of Italy, about as far south as you can go. I've been living here since July 2018, so a year and a half, coming on 2 years. And I'm working on a feature film that I wrote and that I've directed, which has pretty much been shot. But we still have one last scene that we're going to shoot, but it's wrapping up. And we're in post-production for the most part. We're doing a lot of the editing of the major footage that we got last year in 2019. So, yes, I am here, and now we're locked down because of the worldwide quarantine, and especially in Italy. We've been locked down since I came back from Paris on the 9th. Of March, and we were basically locked down starting the 10th, but I think the official lockdown was on the 12th, so about 2 weeks. And I'm learning how to navigate that now, because it's been what's been good about my project and now the quarantine is that editing, I've been able to still work alone on the editing of what's already been shot. And so I do most of my work indoors. I have my own space in my apartment where I have all my work laid out for me and where I'm putting the whole film together. But the city that I live in, Syracuse, and I live in a particular neighborhood, which is the ancient neighborhood, which is a little island actually off the island of Sicily. On this part, in this neighborhood, in this part of Syracuse, there is absolutely no one in the streets. And the police are out, dispersed through the city to monitor any foot traffic and to question anyone who basically is on the streets or who looks like they're on the streets for no reason. So it's quite a strange atmosphere. But yes, I'm holding together.
Wow. Have you seen any incidences where police have had to talk to somebody?
I've seen police talk to many people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been questioned myself yet. I have. So there's a certificate that it's called auto certificazione, which is basically a sheet of paper that you're supposed to be carrying with you that has your name, your passport number or your ID card if you're an Italian citizen. It tells your job, it has your address, it tells where you're supposed to put where you're going. So if you're going to the grocery store, on the piece of paper it's supposed to be written. And all this information if you get stopped. I haven't been stopped. I haven't had to show it. I've seen other people stopped. I haven't seen anyone have to show this certificate. So, but I've heard, my friend Francesco, who's an assistant director with me on this film, he's been yelled at by the police, told to go home, questioned a few times, which is surprising to me, but that's what he's been telling me. So he's editing the film also, so he's supposed to be here working with me, but he he hasn't come the last week because of the kind of crackdown on anybody walking through the city.
Right. Yeah, well, and also to give some context, the area you live in is southern Sicily, so it's a distance from where the major epicenter of the situation is.
Yes. Yeah, so the epicenter is in Milan and in the area surrounding Milan, and I don't know how many miles, maybe 900, 1,000 miles south. So, but one of the big problems was when the government put into effect the lockdown in the north, many people having their job, what their work kind of put on hold, many people came to the south. So to the southern boot of Italy in that region and to Sicily. So the virus now is spreading rapidly through the south. And it's going to be, they say that if the same crisis befalls upon the southern regions as it has in Milan, it's going to be even doubly worse because the southern regions of Sicily are much, I wouldn't say it's not a question of wealth, but they're much less, the infrastructure of the hospitals and the care that could be received for people who need it if they came down with coronavirus is much less than in the north. Milan is the stronghold of Italy. It's the economic center. It's basically the economic heart of the entire country, and it's completely overwhelmed. I mean, I was reading an account of some of the things that are happening there yesterday, and so many people are dying that they can't perform funerals by law. That, I don't know if you knew that that was a law. No one is allowed to attend a funeral. In fact, there was a funeral that was attended in the western part of Sicily near Agrigento by 47 people attended a funeral there, and they were all arrested.
Oh my gosh.
And now they may have to serve up to 3 months in jail.
Wow.
So that is in place in Milan, but the real tragedy right now in Milan is so many people are dying. The churches are full of not mourners, but coffins of people who are yet to be buried and whose families are either sick or can't attend the funeral. And so it's a situation beyond imagination, beyond, it's a tragedy beyond what you can understand or comprehend. Really.
Right. I know. And that's the case for anybody who's a leader now politically or in some situation. And it certainly seems to me like nobody really knows what to do. But there, some people are trying the best they can. I mean, to put a measure in place where attending a funeral is worth up to 3 months in jail is it's unthinkable. But on a personal level, like with all of those stats that constantly come at us, and with that kind of fear that seems to be pervading Italy, have you noticed people like responding to it with a sense of fear or anguish, like? It's interesting because on the one hand, you don't actually really see people, they're all hiding in their apartments and being told to stay in their apartments and whatnot. But from the little you have interacted with people, what is the situation like for people on a daily basis?
Good question. Yeah. I mean, firstly, I would say that there's a lot of fear in almost everyone that I've met. The younger generation who basically makes up my group of friends from 22 to 38, 39, my age range of people that I associate with here, are very afraid. I would say many of them are politically active. Many of them are connected to events that are, connected to have either friends or family or some connection to Northern Italy, where the main crisis is. And there's a sense of doom, for sure, that I would say is even some of my most positive and I don't know. Yeah, positive would be the word. My most positive friends are facing a real crisis, a milestone in their lives, and I would say that they're taking it very seriously. I haven't seen a single friend of mine for the last 2 weeks. Not once. Not to have a glass of wine, not to have a talk, not to even have a dinner. And that wasn't actually my decision. Like, yeah, let's get together and meet. I mean, I don't know. We can meet two or three people in a house, can't we? And many of my friends here have said no. So yeah.
You're a fairly social guy, yeah, too. I mean, you tend to be socializing, yeah, you know, quite frequently. And then you've worked on that film for the last year or more, and you've been meeting with lots of people. And so in a way, on the one hand, in terms of that, this does seem to be timing wise okay for you, because, like you said, most of the filming's done, yeah, and you get to work on it now. But
yes,
but in a socializing sense, you went from, you know, hyper socialization to being by yourself. So how's that been?
Ah, good question. Yeah, very difficult. Yeah, so we finished shooting in December, and up until that point, the community that I had here and the relationships and the social life was very vibrant, and I could walk through the city and meet a friend at any moment and have a glass of wine or share a conversation or really just spend time with people spontaneously, which is the thing I loved most about living here. The neighborhood I live in is very outgoing, very friendly. Everyone's on the streets until late at night, usually. To have that shut down has been not only isolating, but just kind of like, it has an apocalyptic feeling for me right now.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, it feels like the end of an era, or so. It kind of feels like the end of the one being and the beginning of something new. But it's been painful, I would say, because I'm conditioned to want to, you know, to seek human contact and to not have it, but to by law be to not be able to have it by law is quite a strange state. I was reading today an article where the Italians are now looking into the technology that they use in South Korea that monitors and tracks all the people who had coronavirus, who've been infected, and even people who don't, or friends of theirs. It starts to track where they go, how far they walk, where they walk, who they see. It's like this whole system, and the Italians are thinking about using this.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's scary. It's a scary moment, because that type of technology, even though, of course, I agree that the lockdown and the way people are responding is necessary in order to save lives, I think, I don't know how long we can stay apart from each other, and how long we can, I don't know, keep tabs on each other like this, start to watch each other in the 1984 sense is scary to me. So
yeah, well, yeah, and that leads to another question that I thought of just now, which is so you've been locked down for 2 weeks.
Over 2 weeks, yeah.
I think I texted you maybe in the first 5 days of that lockdown, mm-hmm, or something like that. And I think I remember you saying that we were okay for it at the time being. You were all right, mm-hmm, with how things were. But now it's into 2 weeks. Sure. And they have this lockdown set till when?
April
again?
3rd.
April 3rd. So that's also is it clear that that date might be pushed back further if the situation continues?
I'm pretty sure
it will
be pushed back.
Okay, so how, I mean, just in a general feeling, like, how does that is quite possibly the worst feeling, right? Like, it's already bad to feel alone, yeah, and to feel all these, like, sort of apocalyptic sort of, and you're on your own in this feeling. So, I mean, to not know when that would end, that can end, is that that must be kind of like the hardest point.
I think so. Yeah, because I'm used to being able to live in the moment and to take each moment as it comes. And for me now is to stay with that, and not think about the future. Because if I think that I'm going to be stuck like this for another month, I don't know. Yeah. Then I the anxiety and panic creeps in to my. I can only watch so many films by Jean-Luc Godard. I can only
edit the film so many times, yeah.
And I can only spend so many hours in front of the computer that I only have so much of that in me. I think the first moment of panic was when I realized that when I was told I have American friends who are also on the island with me. And there's the one older writer who lives here, David. He texted me saying, I don't know if you heard the news, but all of the flights from Catania's airport are canceled. There's not a single, you literally can't get off the island. And then 2 days after that, I'm not sure what the name of the president of this of the region where I am staying, I'm not sure what the proper Italian name for his position is, but then he canceled all travel, boats, buses, and planes, so no one can leave and no one can come in.
Wow. So it's a totally
well,
locked down.
I've never entirely. Been I mean I've been an expat that you know traveling the world for the last 2 years, but I've never had this feeling that there's just no possible way home. There's no direction home, as Bob Dylan said. There's no, absolutely no way to get there. Wow. So I think that was the first moment of panic. And yeah, now I'm here for better or worse. I made the decision to,
now you're actually truly stuck. Yeah. And that's a tough feeling. So, you know, I reached out online to see if anybody had any questions that they'd ask somebody who was living in Italy. And our good friend Kenya, she said she wanted to know if you could think of any way to help the citizens of Italy emotionally or to give them comfort. How might that be? How might there be a way to do that?
What a great question. I haven't spoken to Kenya for so long. She wrote that question.
I know.
Online on a
before. Yeah, Facebook. Yeah.
Oh, what a great question. I think for me as an American, I mean, I so strongly prize this concept of freedom. Like when I hear about the Italian government putting into place the monitoring system that the South Koreans used, I immediately feel repulsed by this idea. But at the same time, I think that actually the real support, the best support that we can give each other, is abiding by the rules, by taking it seriously and realizing that to help each other best might be to really actually go deep into quarantine to save your neighbor's lives. In fact, I have an older woman, a woman in her 70s, who lives just below me in my apartment. I was thinking today, if I had the virus, I could have it right now. I could be asymptomatic, and she's downstairs. And if by some chance I accidentally passed it to her, she could lose her life. So maybe me staying inside and trying to take all the precautions I can, you know, will support her, save her. I have no idea if it would, but it could. So,
yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's many now. There's lots of song, you know, being sung from the windows of Florence and Siena and Venice. I hear that that people are singing. I've been singing too. I've been doing quite a bit of singing. That's one way. You know, I have my instruments here, and I, as you know, I'm a musician, so I have been coping through singing. And if I could sing a prayer, or sometimes I actually have sung prayers to the people in northern Italy who are suffering, I'll sing for them. I'll try to give them that support if I can. Or maybe even write
That's
a
really
song.
Lovely.
Maybe write a song, because hopefully many songs of healing and friendly support, friendly mutual affection and guidance during this time. Many songs, many pieces of art, films can come out of this experience.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet something like, you know, there's always been an ongoing argument that science and religion can't coexist, or they don't have a lot to do with each other. But I think it's a time like this when you really, and this is what, you know, this is what their point was in the tweet, that this is a time when it's clear both are necessary, and I think they can very much live together. I mean, you need health officials and scientists to, you know, figure out how to mitigate this moment, and you also need religion and spirituality to, you know, help us through with hope and positivity. Yes. And love.
Absolutely. And art.
Yeah.
Art, I mean.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day that the Italian culture has so many great poets in it. I was thinking if we spent time, myself included, you know, instead of watching TV or even watching films or just endlessly watching the news, if we, like our ancestors, like people did hundreds, thousands of years ago, if we gathered in our homes to read poetry, to recite the poetry we know, to speak with each other, you know, I think, or to sing, to speak with one another, it would be also very beneficial. I think poetry, I've been reading a lot of poetry, trying to create the voiceover for my film, because it's something I'm writing now in the editing process. So I'm reading quite a bit, and reading some of the Italian poets like Pier Paolo Pasolini. I don't know if you know him, if you know his work, but
I don't think so.
There are so many really great poets who I would like to, even though I can speak Italian, but I speak very poorly, I would like to memorize and recite Italian poetry, because there's so much music in it. It's like listening, when I go out on the streets in Syracuse, I listen to the language being spoken, and I'm just enraptured by it. But I would like to, for oral poetry, the recitation of poetry, to come back. if I could give people something in their homes, it would be the appreciation, the love for poetry.
Well, now you have a lot of time on your hands, so I think you could no better time to start.
Yeah, for that. Sure, for sure.
You know.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, I'll be able to do that with my friends, at least. So.
Yeah, that's great.
Well,
see what
so
happens.
Also, can I ask you, in terms of your perspective on the United States' response to what you're perceiving?
Yeah.
I mean, the United States was able to take what they saw in the north of Italy in terms of the outbreak, and they were able to respond. How do you feel in California, at least in Los Angeles, in that area, that the United States has responded to what they've seen in Europe?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. I, of course, on the federal level, it hasn't been great, right? And that's a lot of the obvious feedback I think a lot of people have. Even in terms of the Congress and the Senate not being able to work together, still, you know, especially now in a time where there's a crisis and they still can't work together. So it seems so petty, and people's lives will be lost because of that. So then now getting to Los Angeles, the activity of the city has gone down dramatically. I think a lot more people here have taken it seriously on a personal level than one might expect. Because like you said, Americans do have a repulsive reaction to when their freedoms are taken away. But I think I was looking at a chart for this transportation app called I can't remember what it's called, but it's called City Mapper, and they track all transportation that happens in cities, and they listed all the major cities in the world and how much activity has gone down, and in places like Milan and Madrid and European cities, those cities are operating at about 3% activity, 3 to 6% movement within the city. But New York City and Los Angeles, they were still quite low. They were around 12 to 14% compared to what they normally, how normally active they are, which is astonishing. I mean, people really are taking this seriously in the states where the governors are saying, you know, please stay at home, right? Like, it's amazing to me in Italy that you can just instantly make a law that, you know, there's no funerals and cops are in the streets checking for people's certificates.
It's quite something.
That can't happen. That can't happen this in the same, speed, at least in the United States. But I feel like you said, I feel like if people don't stay at home, this situation will get out of hand. And I worry that the United States is actually going to become one of the worst cases as a country in the world. But
are you on like lockdown? Is that, I mean, that's not, as you said, it's not like being enforced by law, but like, how it so the governor, you're being asked to stay home for non-essential travel?
Well, legally, and I can't remember, I'm pretty sure this is California, and if it isn't, it's at least Los Angeles County. Legally, if I'm out, you know, walking somewhere, and a cop is suspicious of where I'm going or why I'm out, a cop can come up to me and ask, and they can say, like, what are you doing now? And if I create any kind of trouble, they do now have the legal stance to give, I think it's a $1,000 fine and possible jail time. But the mayor of Los Angeles County and the governor, they've each said that they don't plan on using police force as of yet, but they've already made the law, passed a bill or something that allows them to if needed.
Wow. Well, you're just in week, I think you're like in the week one.
So I know.
The two know. Big it's weeks are probably these next 2 weeks for the United States in which you're going to really see the effect. You're going to see the spread and see how, see what happens. But you're also lucky that you're locked in with three other friends. So that's that's nice.
We just recorded a podcast that's about the positive effects or any positive that can come out of this, and that's one of them. You know, the ability to be with friends and to be making art or songs, as you say, or you know. So that actually hasn't been completely bad for us.
So can I ask you, have you been creating? Has the Big Strange Collective creating or working on anything communally? Or do you have any plans still?
A couple of things we've started this podcast. That's one thing. We haven't done anything collectively yet, but we do Marco Polo each other, which is an app that lets you send video messages. And that's been really fun. We have done a few little creative endeavors in there, just like fun little things, such as journal prompts. I think different people are doing things together now more than they were before, because we all have more time. So I'm working on a project with Tara and a separate project with Jacob, and then other people have things that they're doing too. And I know Daryl and Hillary have both been making a lot of art and things like that. So nothing as a group, but separately, we're all doing a lot more projects and art that we had in the back burner that we just all have time for now. So
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. One day, hopefully soon, we can talk more about that. But we're in dire times, so it's good to get the updates on what it's like.
Sure.
Well, I thank you for hopping on this call.
Thank you for having me.
I hope that your editing goes well, and that you stay safe and you stay comforted in some way.
Thanks so much. Thanks for reaching out. And even this type of connection, this type of dialogue is so, so good. Feeds me. So thank you.
Of course. And at some point, maybe we'll get you on one of the larger group podcast episode as well.
I'd love to join. Okay.
Okay, man.
Love you too.
I love you. You take care.
Thanks.